Today on the Political Theory of Everything, I will be giving you your daily dose of news for today's date, Wednesday, December 15th. Alrighty, and to start off our news today, we have an article from Fox News. The title of this one, O.J. Simpson, a, quote, completely free man, end quote, parole ends in Nevada. So O.J. Simpson is officially a free man. The 70-year-old former football hero and actor, acquitted California murder defendant and convicted Las Vegas armed robber, was granted good behavior credits and discharged from parole effective December 1st, a day after a hearing before the Nevada Board of Parole, Nevada State Police spokeswoman Kim Yoko Smith said on Tuesday. Quote, Mr. Simpson is a completely free man now, end quote, said Malcolm Laverne, Simpson's lawyer in Las Vegas. Simpson declined an immediate interview, his attorney said, and Laverne declined to talk about Simpson's future plans, including whether he intends to remain in Nevada. He told parole officials before his official release from prison on October 1st, 2017, that he planned to move on to Florida. He instead moved to a gated community in Las Vegas where he plays golf and frequently takes to Twitter to offer opinions about college and pro sports, especially football. Simpson was convicted by a jury in Las Vegas in October of 2008 and served 9 years in prison for leading five men, including two with guns, in a September 2007 confrontation with two sports collectibles dealers at a Las Vegas casino hotel. Simpson insisted he only wanted to retrieve personal mementos and items stolen from him following his acquittal in Los Angeles in the 1994 slayings of his ex-wife Nicole Brown. Simpson and her friend Ronald Goldman. He had been scheduled for discharge from parole February 9th, but the parole board granted him about 3 months of good time credits. So there's that. That's been something in the news quite a bit about O.J. Simpson and how he's able to get free, which kind of counteracts this narrative of African Americans getting the worst of it. Part of it is probably because he is a football player, so that automatically gives him a little boost. He's famous, popular, so they always seem to get out early, no matter who it is with that. But there it is for O.J. Simpson, officially free, and we'll see if he ends up in Florida. But it's very weird that he was released that quickly. But then again, wasn't that entire situation as a whole very weird. So no surprise that the weirdness continues. Now to CNN. Title of this one, Jill Biden to visit victims of Waukesha Christmas parade tragedy and push COVID-19 vaccinations. I just chose this one simply for the title. I didn't think that those words would be put in the same sentence, I guess, in the same title. Parade tragedy and pushing COVID-19 vaccinations. So it talks about what's going to happen. So the article starts, First Lady Jill Biden is traveling to Wisconsin on Wednesday in part to comfort victims and families of the November Christmas parade tragedy in Wisconsin. The trip comes while President Joe Biden is in Kentucky Wednesday surveying damage and meeting with people impacted by deadly tornadoes there. The First Lady is the first member of the administration to meet with anyone since the crash that killed six people and injured more than 60, because that's all it is. It's simply a crash. Biden is being joined for her travels by Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff. Daryl E. Brooks, 39, allegedly drove an SUV through the Christmas parade on November 21st. Brooks has been charged with six counts of first-degree intentional homicide in the incident. He is the lone suspect in the incident. That's a bit repetitive. In addition, meeting with those affected by the parade, Biden will also greet children who have received the COVID-19 vaccination. This portion of the visit is part of the First Lady's ongoing efforts to raise awareness for children getting the vaccine, for which they are now eligible. Both of these events will take place at Children's Wisconsin Hospital in Milwaukee. Later, Biden, Emhoff, and Murphy will stop at the Waukesha City Hall to meet with additional victims, family members, and first responders. So interesting that they say since the crash that killed six people, it wasn't just a crash. That's, I guess it's a crash, but that puts it exceedingly simply. Like, this person plowed through a parade in a car. That's not just a crash. Like, there's other intent behind it. A crash is almost like, oh, it's accidental. But, like, you don't accidentally, I mean, to run over at least 66 people, accidentally, like, you would have stopped by then. And people in the crowd even said that he was swerving, almost trying to hit as many people as he can. But then I guess they kind of change it there. Then they say allegedly, which I'll take that because it is innocent till proven guilty, even though it's, like, exceedingly obvious. That's how it works in our system, and it has to go both ways. When it's super obvious and when it's not obvious at all. But that's something that is starting to drift away in this country, is the idea of innocent until proven guilty. And here we see it, where they do say allegedly, which I'll take that. And hopefully this continues. But this country tends to automatically, if there's a charge or an allegation, boom, guilty. Even though this one's very obvious, I know. But it's like, just as a whole, that tends to be what they do. I mean, think about, like, allegations with Kavanaugh or even Biden. Like, both sides right there, I just said, is automatic assumption of guilt on each side. But then, like, when we charge Biden with that or accuse him with that, then they say, oh, well, innocent till proven guilty. But then you flip it and it's Kavanaugh. And they're like, no. And then we charge Kavanaugh with something. And it's like, no. You know, that's then the right goes, no, innocent till proven guilty. It's like a flip. Is when it's the left to the right, there is no innocent till proven guilty. When it's the right to the left, it's no innocent till proven guilty. When they're charging each other with it. But when they get charged with it, then all of a sudden it goes, no, he has to be proven guilty. Remember, it's innocent until proven guilty. And it's a very one-sided thing nowadays. Or even, I'm saying left and right, but even just from you to another person, that tends to be how it is. So I'm glad that at least they said allegedly there, even though it's obvious, but whatever, you understand. We move on to The Blaze. Title of this one, far-left San Fran mayor who proposed $120 million in police funding cuts after George Floyd now wants cops to fight, quote, BS crime, end quote, that has destroyed our city. Oh, sorry, that was all one quote, sorry. San Francisco far-left mayor London Breed, who last year jumped on the defund the police bandwagon after the death of George Floyd and proposed $120 million in cuts of police budgets over 2 years, now suddenly is getting tough on the quote BS crime end quote that has destroyed. I'm sorry, quote BS crime that has destroyed our city end quote. And the article asks, what are the details? And then it continues on. Breed on Tuesday launched an emergency police intervention in the city's high-crime Tenderloin neighborhood after rampant drug use and related gun violence, KPIX-TV reported. Quote, it's time, the reign of criminals who are destroying our city. It is time for it to come to an end. She said with an angry tone at a press conference, the station said. Resume quote, and it comes to an end when we take the steps to be more aggressive with law enforcement, more aggressive with the changes in our police policies, and less tolerant of all the BS that has destroyed our city, end quote. Breed also said she's looking to fight other headline-grabbing crimes plaguing San Francisco, such as, quote, brazen robberies and car break-ins, end quote, adding that the planned tools to combat crime will include securing emergency police funding for needed resources, amending the city's surveillance ordinance so law enforcement can interrupt crime in real time, and disrupting the illegal street sales of stolen goods. She added that that such crime, quote, has become far too normal and cannot continue to be tolerated, end quote. She also says, we're not a city where anything goes. All of our residents, our workers, and everyone who visits our city should feel safe no matter what part of town they are in. The central district of the city's police department encompasses tourist destinations such as Fisherman's Wharf and Chinatown, and it also sees the highest number of smash and grabs, the station said. There were 876 reported last month, almost 30 per day, compared with 442 in November. 442 in last November. just after Breed's $120 million proposed cutback to the city's law enforcement budgets in July 2020, it was reported that San Francisco police were leaving the department in record numbers due in large part to what many have seen as the city's soft-on-crime approach. So, pretty much, they're starting to realize that if you don't have any law enforcement, the law does not get enforced. Social workers, unfortunately, do not work to replace such police. I understand, you know, maybe you want to change their training or something, but cutting funding and lessening the amount that you have, I don't know how that suddenly is going to help anything. And even if police were racist, even if they were, cutting their funding doesn't suddenly cure their racism. I mean, I don't understand how going from 1,000 cops to 800 cops suddenly, oh my gosh, racism in police is cured. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. At all, how that, even if they were racist, that somehow fixes it, giving them less money and all of a sudden you're not racist, or else fixing racism in America would simply be taking away racist people's money and then suddenly they're not racist. But I just never understood that logic of defunding the police. I understand, like, changing your funding in the police maybe to fix some of their problems that they're having, but also when you look at it, statistically speaking, there really is no difference in blacks, whites, and all those really getting killed by cops when you look at it as the types of crime where whites are exposed to cops and blacks are exposed to cops and Hispanic and Asian and all those. Like, when they're exposed to cops, depending on the crimes that that demographic is committing depends on whether there's a higher chance of a gun being used. Meaning, if a white person shoplifts 90% of the time, then why would that be approached with a gun? But if then you switch the scenario, a white person 80% or 90% of the time is doing a violent crime, now you can see where, okay, well, yes, shoplifting versus violent crime, now the violent crime, yeah, your odds of being approached by a gun and a cop are exceedingly high in this scenario. And frankly, the media has been blowing things out of proportion and trying to twist these things. And now it's kind of biting them because you look at Los Angeles and all the looting going on there and how it's just, it's pretty much, they're not going to be touched in Los Angeles crime-wise. If you go loot a store, you steal things, it doesn't matter. And that's where I think this mayor is recognizing we don't want to be the next Los Angeles. So they're pivoting from where they were and they're going, let's lock back in on police funding, police, like, let's get tough. Bowser, Mayor Bowser, did this in D.C. as well. She all of a sudden said police can do pretty much whatever they need to do to stop crime. So we see this shift, one, because they realized that they thought that it would get them votes, but the votes that it would get them were extremely far, and that the moderates weren't following with them, were far left, so the moderates weren't following with them, so they were losing the moderates, so they realized, okay, we got to backtrack a bit. They almost also got caught up in the media thinking, like, the media pushing all these, oh, then all the people want it too. So a huge reverse from the left with the defund the police. And you notice, like, none of the big leaders say BLM anymore because the election's over. You can actually, like, track BLM usage, and it always spikes at an election. So it's in a very abused thing by leftist politics, politicians. But we move on to CBS, a similar title to a previous one, title, COVID vaccines do not need to be changed for Omicron, quote, at this time, end quote, says Fauci. So originally we were told that they do need to be changed or that new ones need to come out, not so much that they need to be changed, but just there needs to be an adjustment in how they're given just to cope with this Omicron variant or Omicron, however you want to say it, whatever. But the COVID-19 vaccines do not currently apparently need to be changed. So we'll read this article. Here we go. COVID vaccines do not need to be changed to target the Omicron variant, the president's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said Wednesday at a White House press briefing. Quote, our booster vaccine regimens work against Omicron. At this point, there is no need for a variant-specific booster, end quote. He cited early results from a number of studies, including a forthcoming preprint from the National Institutes of Health's Vaccine Research Center showing that the Omicron variant undoubtedly compromises the antibodies offered by the first two shots of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines against infection, but that the third dose can substantially restore protection. Fauci also pointed to recently published real-world data from South Africa, which suggests the first two shots of the vaccine could still offer considerable protection against severe disease caused by Omicron. So that's where they're talking almost all of the symptoms from Omicron in the areas of which they've been, mainly South Africa, have almost pretty much all of them have been mild. And I guess that's what they're saying is because of the vaccine. But even if not, that's how... Like, if you look this up, if COVID didn't exist and you looked it up, virus strains, they always get less deadly but more transmissible, because how can they survive if they kill their host? So you have these strains come out, and they mutate anyways, viruses, but you have these strains come out because they're adapting to how they have to live. And so you have the strains come out, but they always get more transmissible but less... I guess less fatal, even though COVID was really never super fatal or anything, not really lethal, I should say. It wasn't a really lethal disease, you know, it's not like bubonic plague or something. It's closer to the flu in its lethality. It doesn't mean that it hasn't killed people, but it's just saying it's closer to the flu in its lethality. So you see how, the more the variants, more transmissible, but also the less deadly, the less serious, the less lethal, as we see from the original to the Delta to the Omicron, and I'm sure there's a bunch of others, but they just don't get as much media coverage. But Fauci continues on. Health authorities and drug makers around the world have been racing to assess the highly mutated variant's impact on the protection offered by the current vaccines and determine whether booster shots would need to be changed to protect against the new strain. I think a lot of people are also getting kind of fed up with this whole vaccine thing. It's not that they are saying it doesn't work or anything like that, but they're just like, okay, look, you told me last year the vaccine's going to come out and I'm good to go. The vaccine has now come out and now you're telling me I need to get a booster. And then I'm probably going to have to get a booster like every 6 months or a year. So it's like, what is it now? Like, and now you're saying I might have to get another booster after getting the booster because the booster wasn't a good enough booster. So now I need to replace the booster with a better booster for against the Omicron. How many times am I going to have to do this? Like, if every single time a new strain comes out, am I going to have to get a new booster shot to go along with my vaccine to combat every single variant in the world? And in that case, am I just going to get 30 million booster shots? And at that point, is it even worth it because the variants are less deadly as they go on? And so a lot of people are starting to get annoyed by this. And also, of course, a business is going to push that, oh yeah, you guys really need the booster shots. Well, of course you want me to get the booster shot. It gets you money. And so, yes, the fun of American politics. In addition to reimposing mask mandates on both vaccinated and unvaccinated people, some countries have moved to accelerate their rollout of booster shots to avert a feared surge in hospitalizations. Health authorities in Europe concluded Wednesday that data support giving booster shots, quote, as early as 3 months from completion of the primary vaccination, end quote. Well, look at that. Look, this article said what I just said. Here we go. Quote, the increased transmissibility and resulting exponential growth of cases will rapidly outweigh any benefits of potentially reduced severity, end quote. So they're basically agreeing with what I said, where it's more transmissible, but it's less severe, which in every other case was like, every other virus is like, oh, great. But now the European Center of Disease Control and Prevention is saying that it would spread so much just simple numbers, 15% of people die from the first one, 10% of people die from this one. But in the 15%, only 100 people got it. But they're saying basically in this one that 150 people got it. So in the end, the same amount of people die is what they're arguing right here. But it's interesting that they say will rapidly outweigh any benefits. So they're saying 100%. That this will kill as many as the original one. They're saying with 100%, because they say the increased transmissibility and resulting exponential growth of cases will rapidly outweigh any benefits of a potentially reduced severity. So the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control is putting their life, they're betting their life on it, that it will be just as bad, if not worse, than every single one previous to us. So we'll see. The data cited by Dr. Fauci on Wednesday echoes similar early results released by scientists in several countries, as well as other NIH-funded research released Wednesday from researchers in Massachusetts that has yet to be peer-reviewed. More data is expected within the coming week from Moderna and Pfizer's German partner BioNTech, which has been running experiments to assess the efficacy of their current vaccines, as well as developing new versions in response to Omicron so that they can make more money. Oh, sorry, that's not in the article. In response to Omicron. Moderna said they will have data on their full-dose booster and multivalent vaccine approaches later this week. BioNTech's executives told reporters earlier this month that they expected to have data this week on testing Omicron against antibodies from children vaccinated with two doses, as if children need it. Okay, I say that because there is a doctor, Marty McCary from Johns Hopkins University Medical, and so he said that based off their data, the for the kids that have died, every single one of them had secondary conditions, which puts the death rate for the average kid, one without any of those serious health conditions, at 0%. So why are we forcing these vaccines on them when they really don't have any risk at all? And even though the vaccine has an exceedingly small risk to it, exceedingly small, it still would pose more of a risk than COVID was using those numbers. So I just don't understand that. But here we are onto Daily Wire. I'm just going to quickly go over. I have two from this, but I'm going to quickly go over it. So the first one, title exclusive: high school steering students to alleged porn producer for quote-unquote scholarship. So multiple high schools are encouraging their students to apply for a scholarship by sending their name, phone number, and physical and email addresses to a doctor who surrendered his medical license after being repeatedly accused of meeting young aspiring medical professionals online and tricking them into filming porn that he sold or posted to shame them. In May and June, two university students separately sued Philip T. Sobash, an Arkansas doctor, saying he is a serial sexual predator who convinces unwitting young women into sending nude images to him and then posts the images with his victims' names and other personal identifying information onto notorious websites, inciting others to anonymously harass and attack his victims. He sells the images for personal gain, but more than that, he enjoys harming his victims. So that was all one quote. On August 5th, the Arkansas Medical Board forwarded information to Sobash about Sobash to the FBI. Quote, encouraged the physician to utilize a chaperone at all times when seeing patients, end quote, and ordered him to come before the board in October. According to medical board meeting minutes on October 7th, the board, quote, unanimously voted to accept the surrender of Dr. Sobash's Arkansas medical license in lieu of continuing the investigative process, end quote, according to the board's records. Lawsuits say Sobash sometimes sent small amounts of money, such as $2,000, to his victim through Venmo around the times they sent photos. Now Sobash has set up a scholarship fund that encourages high school and college students to personally contact him in hopes that they will be the winner of his scholarship, a payment of $1,000 awarded to one student. Numerous high schools and colleges promote the opportunity. Fort Vancouver High School in Vancouver, Washington, for example, instructed high schoolers with interest to become a interest in becoming a medical doctor to, and this is like a layout of what it says, please email the following information along with your essay to the email: full name, phone number, bio, address, email address, projected graduation, school currently attending, GPA. A sampling of the many other high schools promoting the scholarship include Pearl River High School in New York, the Northridgeville City High School, City Schools in Ohio, the Prairie du Chien Area School District in Wisconsin, the Star Mount Community School District in Iowa, the Vinton County Ohio Schools, and Alfred Ely Beach High School in Savannah, Georgia. The scholarship website was registered on July 2nd, according to Domain Records. The site says the deadline to apply for the scholarships is December 16th, 2021, so tomorrow, and that the winner will be announced January 16th. The scholarships were posted by high schools after the New York Post wrote about one of the lawsuits against Sobash in May, which meant his background was easily locatable on Google at the time. It then just goes through all of the lawsuits, about him, quite a few of them, but there you go. Once again, not surprising coming from what the public schools have been doing recently. So once again, a great, just strong, powerful, and, you know, just really raising up our young well from public schools. Again, not bashing public schools, but they have been doing multiple mistakes like this, And you wonder if it was like if they knew what they were doing. The Daily Wire, what they said there at the end is hinting at that, you know, you could easily Google his name and this would pop up. So that's what they're hinting at, that the schools recognized that this was happening, they knew that this was happening, and they still continued on with it. But we move on to the next article from the Daily Wire, kind of like along with CBS's title. CDC says wave of Omicron infections could hit U.S. in January. Top health officials at Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are warning that the Omicron variant of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, could peak in a huge U.S. wave as soon as January. So that kind of mirrors what CBS was saying, or what the European Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, blah blah blah, was saying with the huge number of cases might outweigh the less lethality of it, the lesser lethality of it. We'll see if that ends up being true. So it says on Monday, the CDC said 8 out of 10 people who have caught the Omicron variant of SARS-CoV-2 were fully vaccinated, based on an examination of diagnoses. From December 1st through 8th, there were 43 cases attributed to Omicron. 34 were among people who had been fully vaccinated. What's more, on one third of the 34 had also received a third booster shot. So these are the types of numbers that I enjoy seeing. That's why I enjoy Daily Wire, is because they give you the numbers, and then you can click where they give you the numbers, like see where they're getting it from. Or they'll take you exactly to a website where they're getting it from. But right there, you see, CBS is saying, and they show, oh, well, Fauci says this, and I think it shows a difference in like the way the news networks work, is they go, well, the health professional said this, and then Daily Wire goes, okay, I don't care really what the health professional says as much. I'm more so like, what are the numbers saying? So you say, Fauci says the booster shot's going to work, but how come when I look at these numbers, a third of them have the booster shot? And then you also have to put it in perspective, is how many people were exposed. So there's lots of numbers that go together to see if it's actually good or not. But you notice how CBS just said, well, Fauci said that the data, says we don't need it. But they don't actually tell you the data. They don't actually give you any of the numbers or anything like that. They just tell you, well, Fauci says it's okay. And that's what's happening, is the media is almost trying to come to conclusions for you. And so you need to find multiple news sources where, when you combine them all together, like I do for you here, you can actually see, okay, well, this is what Fauci thinks of the data, but let me see the data. And that's what this is right here. It's showing you the data. And it does tell you what Fauci does say in this, but it also backs it up, saying, here's the data that he came to a conclusion with. Now you come to a conclusion with it. And so here we go. Dr. Anthony Fauci, an immunologist and director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, who serves as President Joe Biden's chief medical advisor on COVID-19, now says, quote, "The early data indicates that the Omicron may not pose as great a risk of serious illness as the Delta variant, but stressed that further information is needed before he can definitively confirm that," end quote. So last Wednesday, BioNTech, sorry, said that initial results from studies examining how well their vaccine protects against a new coronavirus variant found that booster shots on top of a two-dose vaccine regimen neutralizes Omicron in lab studies. So there you go. I told you, it will still tell you what others' conclusions are based off their own studies and the studies that they see and the numbers that they see, but they also gave you the numbers. And left media is more so pushing the idea of coming to a conclusion for you. It doesn't mean that the right's not doing that. Obviously they are, but it's a bit different in how they want you to come to the conclusion. But at least like the Daily Wire, on their non-opinion, they tend to give you most, like, they get tend to give you numbers and such. They'll try to obviously draw you to a conclusion, because that's their job. They're a conservative news network. They want you to come to a conservative news conclusion, or conclusion as a whole. But they will at least try to give you some numbers. I mean, you can't buy, like, 10 out of 10 is 10 out of 10, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. I mean, that's 10 out of 10 is 10 out of 10. And so that's where you see, like, one third is one third. And that's where, do you think one third, would you say that's an effective booster shot or not? And that's where you also need other numbers, like, okay, well, how many booster shots were exposed, stuff like that. And Pfizer and them say, well, with our numbers, we think that a booster shot works. But then again, they're a business. So they want to make money. And I'm not saying that automatically everything they do is corrupt. I'm just saying, like, that's their job, is to make money. So if they say the booster shot works, the government buys more booster shots, Pfizer makes more money. And so that's where you have to keep all these things in mind, is you have a business who's trying to make money, you have a government who, as if the business says that they need it, then they'll buy it. And then you have these top health officials who are having the most powerful time in their lives. So of course they're gonna, it's human nature to dwell in it a little bit, and they're gonna enjoy it while they can. And then you have also a lot of fed up Americans. So you have to put all these things together and say, well, people really don't care for the booster shots as much now. But then you also have these businesses where it's like, well, they'd make money off of it. And whether people get a booster shot, it doesn't matter. The government just has to buy from them. So if the companies can convince the government that it works, it doesn't matter how many people get it, because the government will still buy it. And so that's what we can see happening here. I didn't talk about this news at all, but ESPN had posted a thing on Twitter talking about the noose that was found, the quote-unquote noose. So this is what they said: last year, a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's stall at Talladega Super Speedway. The next day, the NASCAR community stood with him in unity. I understand that they're trying to highlight the unity that's happening here, but you can actually see ESPN wrote a post that said FBI says that it wasn't a noose. Like, they literally said it themselves that it wasn't a noose. ESPN said that. Like, if ESPN checked their own website, they would see it wasn't a noose. And I understand they're trying to show the unity of the sport, but it wasn't a noose. It was literally, that's always, that's it's that rope has always been there. That's how they opened the garage and closed. Like, that's the it's how they open and close the garage. It's not a noose. A noose, when you pull on it, when you put pressure down on it, it tightens. That's what a noose is. And of course, most knots look like a noose. Like, that's, you have a little loop at the top and then the knot there. Like, that's how they're gonna look. But a noose is when you pull it, it tightens. That's where when they hung people, it would tighten, choke them, or break their neck. Like, that's what a noose is. This, you pulled or whatever, and it didn't tighten, which automatically means it cannot be a noose. And so I didn't do an article or anything on that, but basically they got bashed. They just got absolutely blown out of the water by social media, as they should, for posting that. But anyways, that concludes our wonderful, wonderful news for today's date. But thank you so much for joining us. I hope to see you, or I guess for you to listen in again tomorrow. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday and a wonderful rest of your week. Merry Christmas.